two readings this morning. The first one from the Gospel of Luke. Now on that day, two of them were walking to a village called Emmaus, and it was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking as they walked about everything that had taken place in the last few days. And as they were walking and discussing, Jesus came up beside them and fell into step with them, but their eyes were kept from perceiving him. "What are you talking about?" asked Jesus. And they stood very still. They were so sad. And one of them, Cleopas, said, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who has not heard about the things that have happened?" And Jesus said, "What things?" And he said, "Well, the things about Jesus of Nazareth, who is a prophet mighty in word and deed before God and all the people, and about how our chiefs and our leaders and our priests surrendered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. And about how we believed he was our Messiah, the one who would redeem our people. And now it's been 3 days. And this morning, some women from our group went to the grave and he wasn't there. And they came back to tell us, and they said they had seen visions of angels who told them that he is alive. And we ran back to the tomb, but it was just as they had described. It was empty, and he was not there." Well, Jesus said, "Oh, how foolish and slow of heart you are to understand all that the prophets have declared." And starting with Moses and the prophets, Jesus interpreted for them everything about himself in Scripture. Well, about that time, they were nearing the village. And he went on ahead of them as if he were going to pass on. And they said, no, wait. Please stay with us. The day is coming to an end. Evening is here. Please come and stay with us." And so he did. And when they were at table, Jesus took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to them, and they recognized him. This was Jesus. And then he was gone. Well, they looked at each other. Weren't our hearts burning when he was interpreting the scripture to us? Well, within an hour, they were on the road back to Jerusalem. And they walked the 7 miles in the dark. And when they got there, they found the 11 and their companions. And they were saying, "The Lord is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. He has appeared to Simon." And they told them all that had happened on the road and how in the breaking of the bread, they recognized Jesus. Later, Paul writes to all the Hebrew people, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some have entertained angels without knowing it." The word of the Lord.
Friends, would you pray with me and for me? Let us pray. God of love, we give you thanks for the gift of this day, for your living word that opens to us a word that we need for the living of these days. We give you thanks for Jesus and his presence in our life, and ask that you would help us to be the people that follow in his way of love and peace. Amen. Well, I know I'm not the only person here that follows Richard Rohr. I've heard some of you follow him as well. Father Rohr is a Catholic priest, a mystic, an ecumenical teacher. And many of us receive his daily writings in our inbox from the Center for Contemplation and Action. Well, in his book called The Wisdom Pattern, he uses three words to describe this pattern. It's order, disorder, and reorder. And it's a pattern that not only shows up everywhere, it's also a pattern that's not always linear. In fact, oftentimes it's cyclical in nature. Think about a plant. A seed is planted, this plant springs forth to life, the plant dies. The seeds from the dying plant become new plants. Or take a look at your life, and you'll likely see this pattern showing up time and time again. You're living your life, order, but then you experience a change or a significant loss or a setback, disorder. Then you find yourself finally moving forward, reorder. Take the unrest in parts of our world. There is peace, order. There is war, disorder. And I pray protests and demonstrations lead to a reordering to the reality of peace again. I have to say this for us to be clear. Let us be clear that in our work of reordering, there is space and room enough to hold more than one truth, such as the truth that anti-Semitism is a real and sinful problem and one to be decried by Christians, and the truth that anti-Semitism is not the same thing as free speech that is fueled by the passionate conviction that every life is of sacred worth. When the speech lifts up the dangerous entanglement of the far-right Zionism and Christian nationalism, that speech is needed. Sometimes indeed, the work of justice demands our participation in the work of a type of disordering as false gods are called out. Order, disorder, reorder. Of course, war sees this pattern showing up in most every world religion, including the life of Jesus. Birth, death, resurrection. We find the disciples today in what is a familiar resurrection story. It's Easter morning, Jesus has been raised from the dead, and as the day unfolds, we are told in Luke's gospel that two of the disciples are walking along the road, making their way to Emmaus. They're on a journey, and they encounter another person, and they don't know what we know. They don't know that this other person is raised from the dead, Jesus. They're still caught up in this experience of disorder. We can hear it in their words. Their words that take my breath away every time I read them. But we had hoped. We had hoped. Have you ever spoken those words? Have you ever thought of them, felt them in the pain of your chest? We had hoped that the surgery would work. We had hoped that the election results would be different. We had hoped. In ways big and small, our very lives are filled with disappointment and grief, hopes that have been crushed. The Easter story is for people who have lived with such losses. Well, this week I've been reading this story from Luke's gospel over and over again as I place it alongside the reality of climate change. How do they speak to one another? I think that like the early disciples, we do indeed find ourselves in a place of disorder. Learning about the reality of climate change, its tragic consequences, we may be the ones shaking our heads and thinking to ourselves, we had hoped. I've also been taking more of a deep dive into all things climate justice related. And the amount of information, articles, books, blogs, documentaries, podcasts, the amount of information out there is truly overwhelming. And on top of that, some of you keep sending me additional info, which I love. Please keep doing it. I love it. Keep sending it. It was a few years ago that I discovered Our Planet on Netflix. Any of you seen it? It came out a few years. I caught wind of it during the pandemic, and the images are spectacular, breathtaking. The drone footage that allows filmmakers to capture everything from a blue whale nursing, scientists had never seen that before, a young albatross taking off into flight for the first time, it is enthralling. Well, there's a second season out, and I finally took to watching it just a little while ago as I was looking to this sermon series. And at one point, the narrator, the one and only Sir David Attenborough, says, "Life depends on the freedom to move." That phrase captivated me, made me curious. I wanted to learn more about climate migration. Because as a supporter of Justice for Our Neighbors for years, as one who joins you in dreaming and voting and working towards friendlier immigration policies, I have to say that I'm not that well-versed in climate migration. For a long time, of course, scientists have talked about the migration patterns of everything from monarch butterflies moving from Mexico to Canada and back. But today we are learning more about animals who are forced to move because of shifting weather patterns. Most of those changes caused by humans, by us. Ice melts and polar bears travel well beyond their territory out of desperation, trying to find food. And humans also are migrating because of changes in the weather. I mentioned doing more research. There's so much out there. And would you believe that I found an entire podcast dedicated to the theme of climate migration? Friends, I'm not talking about one podcast. It's an entire podcast series with dozens of episodes, all centered around climate migration. Alex Randall is the project manager of Climate Change and Migration Coalition, and he sees the number of people having to migrate because of climate change increasing, and he predicts that it will only continue to increase in the coming years. His message echoes what we heard from our Lunch and Learn speaker last week, from Becca Edwards, who is a climate justice fellow at Texas Impact. Like Becca, Alex Randall reminds us that more often than not, it is the most vulnerable and poorest among us who are impacted. He writes, for example, that people won't necessarily leave vulnerable locations. And we know why, because they can't afford to leave. As climate impacts erode livelihoods, people get poorer, and as people get poorer, it becomes harder for the have-nots to move. Here's where I feel like he really convicts me. He goes on to say, who gets to move has everything to do with race and wealth. I hold this truth alongside the words of the National Geographic documentary that survival depends on the ability to move. It's one thing to welcome the strangers in our midst, but what does it mean when we can't even receive them because they're trapped? I don't know about you, but I'm convicted, and I can sulk and stew in my unhelpful cloud of guilt. I'm good at that. Or I can teeter and fall into that pit of despair, thinking all hope is lost. But friends, this can't be the end of the story, right? Because there's a pattern, right? Order, disorder, reorder. The disciples discover a reordering of their lives and hearts when they finally recognize the risen Christ is with them. And I love that scene takes place at a dinner table. That's often when we experience the sacred, right? Not that it's all about just the food, although there is that. It's about the food shared in the company of friends. And their once broken hearts are now up on fire, burning with joy. You know, as heavy as the topic of climate change is, there is so much out there that brings joy in life. Incredible stories of people, amazing people who are doing incredibly miraculous things to reorder the world. And I want to leave you with a couple of those stories, and I pray that they give you as much hope as they give me. And the first one has to do with coffee, actually. I love coffee. I like good coffee. And I don't want to start any fights here, but Anderson's coffee is the best, right, Carol? We know. Truth be told, ordering Anderson's whole bean roasted coffee by mail during the pandemic, I think that was one of the ways that's one of the things that Jesus used to save me during the pandemic. What I know is that my favorite beans are from Guatemala. But what I didn't know until recently is the devastating consequences of a warming planet on coffee crops in that country. Some of you have likely read about this. It began years ago, that warmer weather holding more moisture in the air destroyed not only the plants, but the livelihood of many coffee farmers. A plant disease whose unscientific name is called coffee leaf rust. Rust because orange spots develop on the plants and destroy them. This disease they'd never previously had problems with until recent years. And in some farms, it destroyed not only the majority of the plants, but profits fell as much as 60% for some farmers. People lost money, people lost their jobs, people lost their livelihood. So we can begin to see how climate may not always be the presenting factor when somebody migrates, but economic insecurity and even at times political unrest, it can begin with a changing climate and dwindling resources. There is a link between the escalation of violence and dwindling and scarcity of resources. Now, I said this was a hopeful story, right? So I'll get to it. So there are these people from Catholic Relief Services who went to Guatemala and started training coffee farmers to graft their plants to make them resistant to the leaf rust. You can't make this stuff up, y'all. And I have spent more time this last week than I care to admit watching YouTube videos of people grafting those plants, inserting into the wound of one plant a healthy plant so that it makes it more resilient. Seeing young indigenous women in Guatemala now passing this practice on to their friends, seeing their coffee plants thrive, this story bears witness to the promise of reordering in this world. Second story, last story, is on elephants. Back in 2021, a tribe of Chinese elephants began journeying well beyond their familiar environment. Did any of you see these videos? It was back in 2021. I was told that it went viral, but it missed me. I didn't see it. But you can take a look. I might put it in my Friday note. It was, again, in 2021, videos began being taken of these elephants that were asleep as they made their journey away from their familiar environment. The videos, this drone footage, captivated people not just in China, but the news spread around the world on social media. Now these elephants, they looked, yes, quite adorable as they were sleeping clustered together. But friends, they were sleeping because they had finally collapsed out of exhaustion in their desperate search for water. Heartbreaking. When they finally woke up to journey again, the unthinkable happened. They made their way literally into a city, and it was an alarming situation to say the least. How frightening for these precious creatures of God who found themselves in a most foreign land. Scared and disoriented, I'm glad to tell you that those elephants finally made their way back home again because of committed experts that protected them and guided them. The drought had eased, and they were not only home, but they were safe. Survival depends on the ability to move, and it also depends on kind and generous people who have the resources to lend a helping hand. On people like us, who are used by the living Christ to be signs of peace and possibility in a broken world, to know that disorder is not the end of the story, to be the reason of the reordering that is to come. Disciples on a journey. They had their eyes open and they finally saw Jesus. Their once broken hearts now burning with joy. Resurrection. Resurrection, I'm learning, is more about an experience than understanding it. More about how we live our lives. By the grace of God, we find our way from disorder to reorder. And we ourselves bear witness to the resurrection when our hearts are on fire, being led to heal and to help. Amen.